At the height of the Cold War, President Ronald Reagan once pondered the potential for an age-ending world war. He said, "I turn back to the ancient prophets in the Old Testament and the signs foretelling Armageddon, and I find myself wondering if we're the generation that's going to see that come about. There have been times in the past when we thought the world was coming to an end, but never anything like this. Are we living in the days when we will see such a war? Will mankind perish in a nuclear Armageddon?" We'll provide you the answers in today's program, "And Wars Shall Increase." Stay with us for another edition of Beyond Today.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Has your life been changed by the impact of war? Perhaps you are a veteran of the Iraq War, the Gulf War, Vietnam, or even World War II. You may have seen war firsthand. If you have not been in combat, no doubt you know someone who has. Wars and killings and conflicts have plagued our world from the very beginning. Wars have shaped the world and human lives more than peace throughout our long story. Travel the world and you will see in every country you visit the memorials to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and the cemeteries where they lay. Not a country has escaped the searing torch of war across its landscape. As much as I would like to say we will see no more war in our lifetime, I can't. You see, I know too much about history. I know too much about human nature. And like you, I look at the world and see the prospect for war to continue and increase in devastation. I look at the Middle East and I see nuclear weapons in the hands of men who say they want to drive other nations into the sea and wipe them off the face of the map. I see religious and ethnic tensions in Pakistan and India, both nuclear-armed nations. The tensions there are boiling beneath the surface. I look at North Korea, an outlaw nation with nuclear weapons and a population they can barely feed. The Korean Peninsula is really the Balkans of Asia, a place that could explode into conflict, drawing in other nations into a spreading worldwide conflict. The world we live in is a dangerous place. The potential for wars and conflicts do not disappear despite the best efforts of statesmen and world leaders. I also know one more thing. I know what Bible prophecy says about war and the future. I know the story it tells us, and it's a two-edged sword. On the one hand, we can expect wars to increase. On the other, we can see the good news that humanity will not evaporate in a nuclear cloud. The human race is destined to continue into better days, but not before we go through some very troublesome times. In this series on the Beyond Today program, we have been going through Jesus Christ's Olivet Prophecy found in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Matthew 24, and let's look at this important prophecy from Jesus Christ, your Savior, that many of you probably don't realize was a prophet. And also Jesus Christ was, in a sense, a newscaster, because the things that he foretold in this specific prophecy are coming alive and coming before us today in the headlines that we read on a regular basis from all parts of the world. This is one of the most important prophecies in the Bible. It was given in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives when Jesus and his disciples had crossed over the Kidron Valley from the temple area, gone up on the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem, and they had looked back over the most magnificent scene perhaps of the world at that time, and that was the great temple built by Herod the Great in Jerusalem on the site which had originally been occupied by an earlier temple of King Solomon. And Christ made the statement regarding that temple of their day and the compound around it that there would not be one stone left upon another, and it would all come down. And to that statement, Jesus' disciples came to him and they asked this question. They wanted to know something. In verse 3 of Matthew 24, they came and they said, "Tell us, when will these things be?" This tearing down of all that was before them, this magnificent temple and the end of an age. And they said, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And then Jesus began to unfold a very meticulous, detailed, expansive prophecy. And he gave specific signs here at the very beginning of it. Now, in our last program, we covered the first sign, which was spiritual deception. We talked about men coming in Christ's name with Christ, saying that they had Christ's message and representing Christ, but Christ himself said that they are deceivers. False religion, in other words, spiritual deception that would be a part of mankind from that point on. The second sign that Jesus gave is here in verse 6. He said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." A lot of people get crossed up with that phrase, the end, or the end of the age that is mentioned back up here earlier. It's not talking about the end of human life. Christ's prophecies actually show us the hope that there will be a continuation of human life. It is not going to be destroyed in a nuclear war. It's talking about the end of an age, the end of human rule on this earth, the time just prior to the establishment of the kingdom of God. So he says the end is not yet during this heavily trafficked time of war. In verse 7, he said also, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." And he goes on to talk about other signs as well. But here in verse 6, and also in the first part of verse 7, Jesus Christ talks about coming war. Now, war has always been a part of human life. From the very beginning in the Bible, we see tribes, families, nations warring against one another. We see the first murder way back in the book of Genesis. Strife and conflict have been a part of the human condition from the very first family. No question about that. Wars will continue. But what is significant about what Jesus says, and also what he brings out in a later prophecy, is that these wars are going to continue. They're going to increase in magnitude and in scope to the point where we could have some very, very difficult times, and will have those lying ahead of us. Matthew 24 is a parallel section to what we read in Revelation chapter 6. Turn over to Revelation 6, the last book of the Bible. Last time we went here, we also showed the scene here of four horsemen riding across the prophetic landscape in the book of Revelation. Also corresponds with what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 24. The second horseman that we read about in Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, here is a different horse. It's a red horse, red symbolizing war and conquering. It says, "Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." Here is a prophecy set in the day of the Lord that tends to show that at the time of the end, wars are going to increase, peace will be taken from the earth, there will be a great sword that will go through. There will be a horseman in a symbolic sense of this red horseman riding across the world's landscape, and there will be times of war and trouble and strife, exactly as Christ himself foretold back here in Matthew chapter 24. Now, let's pause for a moment. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Let's look at what we are talking about here. Let's just take the first sign that we have of religious deception and war. You know, when you study history and you go through the stories of nations, you often find that, at least in the past and even in our own present time, so much of war, so much of the strife revolves around religious differences. Whether it's fundamentalism, fanaticism of one form, or sincere differences of opinion that have led people and nations to go to war against one another, the two often go hand in hand. Back in the 17th century, there was a time of 30 years of war. In fact, it's called the 30 Years' War in Europe. This came after the Protestant Reformation. It was a result of a great power shift between the European states. And between 1618 and 1648, 30 years, war waged between Catholic France and Protestant Holland on one side, and the very powerful Catholic Habsburg dynasty on the other. And by the time peace, which was by that point really a euphemism for balance of power, when peace was restored in the year 1648 with what was called the Treaty of Westphalia, 8 million people had lost their lives. 8 million people. Now, by modern standards, that's not many. Nearly 50 million people lost their lives in World War II. But for 17th century Europe, that was a staggering toll. You see, war is a fundamental spiritual problem. A famous writer once said that you could drain all the blood from men and replace it with fresh, and men would still fight one another because there's a spiritual deficiency. There's a spiritual problem. Not until we see a new heart and a new spirit within man will we see an end to war and to strife. In this program, a very sobering program dealing with war, we are going to go further into this subject to show you what lies ahead. But I want to pause for a moment and offer you a piece of literature that we don't offer too much on Beyond Today, but it is one of our publications that comes out on a regular basis, actually on a monthly basis. It's called World News and Prophecy. This is a monthly publication. It's a very short edition and publication, but it carries a number of different articles, each issue regarding world events, Bible prophecy, what is taking place in the world. This particular one talks about a part of the financial crisis that is impacting the entire world. The very motto and the very purpose of this particular publication is to take the words of Matthew 24 and to make it relevant and to show how that is being fulfilled in this world at this particular time. World News and Prophecy, go online to beyondtoday.tv, or you can call on the telephone 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv to get your free subscription to World News and Prophecy. War has a tremendous impact and takes a tremendous toll on the individual level. Many of you are familiar with a movie that came out a number of years ago called Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan was about a platoon of American soldiers at Normandy shortly after the D-Day invasions of June 1944 who were sent on a special mission behind the lines to rescue one young paratrooper named Private Ryan. You see, Ryan was one of four brothers who had gone to war in this fictional story. And the War Department had discovered that the other three brothers had just been killed in various other theaters of World War II, and that Private Ryan was the last surviving brother of this family from, I believe the state was Iowa. And so this platoon of soldiers was sent to find him because the president and the secretary of war did not want this one family to lose all of its sons in war. You know, when I saw that, it was a very good movie, and it told in a dramatic way, a very powerful way, a story that, in one sense or another, the story itself was fictional, but it was based on some real events of other wars and other times in terms of multiple brothers from one family being killed in war. But it struck home to me very, very personally. You see, in World War II, my father was in the Normandy invasion, and he was one of four brothers who had gone off to World War II. I have a picture from my hometown newspaper of that particular era of my father and his three brothers all serving in different theaters in World War II. The difference between this real life story of the McNeely family and that of Private Ryan is that all four of these men came home to the joy of their mother, my grandmother. You remember in Private Ryan, the mother of those men in the one scene sank to her knees when she saw the military official get out of his car to come up to her front porch to tell her that three of her sons had been killed in war. My dad and his brothers came home. But you know, they learned a tremendous lesson about war during the time that they were there. And years later, I remember my father at a time when he was near death with cancer. He was sitting in his living room and his older brother and another younger brother who wasn't in this picture came to visit with him because the youngest brother had a son at that time who was preparing to ship out to Iraq in Desert Storm in 1991. And I remember these three veterans, two of them of World War II, sitting around talking about their nephew and the youngest's son getting ready to go off to war. Not a one of them was happy. Not a one of them was glorying in war because they all knew the impact that war had on the individual. My mother used to tell me that my father came home a different person than he was before he went to war. War has a tremendous impact on people's lives. And as we look ahead in our world, war is also going to have a tremendous impact on this entire world. War, as we cannot imagine it, is being prepared to be unleashed upon a world, as these prophecies indicate, and as indicated by so many other books and magazine articles and research about war and the technology that is being developed to fight the wars of the future. This particular book, War Made New, covers 500 years of military technology and talks in its concluding pages about different types of war, ecological war, where enemies or nations are tinkering with the idea of creating tsunamis or possibly even earthquakes to disrupt nations that they might be attacking. Financial war, cyber war, All different types of warfare are being imagined, and the defenses and the preparations for them are just not ready to even meet the challenges that are going to come. The types of warfare that are waiting in the wings is a tremendous matter that is yet lying ahead of us as we look at what lies ahead. There's a recent Wall Street Journal article that I found in preparing for this program that makes a comment exactly about the danger of our time and the world in which we are living. And it says that as it goes through the scenes from what I mentioned earlier in regard of Pakistan and India and North Korea, events in Europe and the Middle East, the arrival of Iran to that of a nuclear power in the Middle East and the problems that that might have. And it makes a comment here that says that the current international environment is by any comparison more dangerous for the United States than the one that led to World War II. This is a very, very serious, difficult, and sobering time that we find ourselves in, not just as the United States or Canada, but also as in the world. Now, when we go back to Matthew chapter 24, we find another statement that we should note in verse 21 of Matthew 24 that I'd like to talk with you about, because Christ carries this thought of war and the troubled times ahead. In verse 21, he says, "Then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Christ paints a very grim picture of the dangers that are ahead of us and what will happen in those days, a time unlike any of any past history. But he says, because of the elect's sake, they will be shortened. In other words, human life will survive. It's not going to disappear in a nuclear cloud. That is comforting and encouraging news. Our world's going to make its way through a very difficult passage before the light of different and better times come ahead. But we're going to go through some very challenging and difficult times. You know, I make the statement often when I'm talking with people and about this particular subject that as I look around at this world today, books like this and articles like this, I don't find a lot of good news. I have to go to the Bible and even Bible prophecy to find good news and to find hope. And one of the most important scriptures that I think I can leave with you and go to is found back in the book of Isaiah, because it is one that has provided a vision of hope for so many through the years. People of faith, philosophers, men of goodwill, who seek a better world, who seek to find the solutions to war to bring peace to the world. It's in Isaiah chapter 2. This is a vision that I'd like to read to you. It begins in verse 2. It says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days." And it's that time ahead of us and beyond what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. It says that the mountain of the Lord's house, the government of God, the kingdom of God is what is being talked about, will be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow to it. There's going to come a time when all nations will come to God, to His kingdom, to His statesmen, in order to learn different ways. Many people will come and say in verse 3, "Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people." And then comes the clincher section of this prophecy that paints a wonderful picture. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." You know, the United Nations, the men who formed the United Nations in New York, thought so much of that concept and that vision in this verse that they commissioned a sculpture of a man beating his sword into a plowshare to be placed in front of the United Nations. What a wonderful scene. What a wonderful picture. Unfortunately, it has not been achieved. And anyone who studies Bible prophecy knows that as you study this prophecy and so many others, and this one is probably one to look at in terms of this concept, man is not going to bring this about. Man will not bring this scene to the point where through negotiation, through treaties, or any other human effort, men will come to the point where they will beat their swords into plowshares. It will take the return of Jesus Christ. It will take Christ intervening to cut short the times that lie ahead so that flesh, human life, will be spared on this earth. That's what it will take. That's the hope of the Bible. That's what lies beyond. But before then, there's going to be a time and a passage of trial and tribulation. We have to get ready for it. We need to be concerned and aware of that. When we come back, I'm going to have the Beyond Today panel, and we'll cover a few thoughts about that in preparation. We're not done with this topic yet. It's one that is sobering, and yet there is hope on the other side. Watch this message. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was China's role as a great power at the time of the end. You can read all about these trends each month in your free subscription to World News and Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. For the first time, you will be able to interpret the confusing conflicts in the Middle East. Also understand why the developing European Union will challenge the very freedom and independence of the United States, Great Britain, and all the English-speaking nations of the world. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or going online to Beyond Today.
While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
And we are back to Beyond Today. Today we're talking about wars shall increase. You've just seen a commercial for our magazine, the Good News magazine. If you haven't already subscribed to this, please be sure to go online, beyondtoday.tv, to do that. We'll come free of charge, 6 issues per year. We're joined at this time with the Beyond Today panel, Steve Myers and Gary Petty. Christ said that nation shall rise against nation. How are we seeing that fulfilled in today's headlines, Gary?
You know, nations have always been fighting each other, but something very profound is happening right now today, and that is our world is destabilizing. You know, there has been a world economy for a couple of decades. The United States has had an empire for a couple of decades, but that is coming apart. And what we're seeing is nations like Korea, China begin to flex their military muscle, Iran. But we also see the destabilization that's happening because of radical Islam. And we could have, with the downturn of economies all over the world and that kind of destabilization, we could have anarchy. And whenever you have anarchy, you have war, or you have nations fighting to survive. So we have a real bleak picture just not too far in the distant future.
Yeah, I think one thing that has changed the whole scene is terrorism. Terrorism has changed so that a nation can rise up just because they have the military power to be able to do it. Just one dirty bomb can create the power to change the dynamics of the structure of the nations of the world. And so the times have changed and everything is destabilized in that way. So any nation could rise up just because of the military power that they have.
Yeah, and so many military experts also recognize that it doesn't take a great power to destabilize a big power.
Past history, the shot heard around the world was just a minor event in a small country that began a world war.
Yes.
And yet today it's even that much worse and that much more volatile.
And that was with muskets. Flintlocks.
Yes.
Today, you know, it's a much greater danger in the world.
Some might say there have always been wars and conflicts, but how does what we see in Revelation 6 of this ride of the red horse, how's that change the time of the end?
Oh, let's just look at over the last 100 years. I mean, if you look at machine guns, and suddenly instead of thousands of men dying in battle in one day, tens of thousands were dying in one day in battle. Then you have airplanes, you have tanks, you have nuclear weapons, you have biological weapons, you have computers, you have Star Wars. What we're looking at today is war became deadlier. I mean, it was deadly for the man who died by the spear or the flintlock, but now it's deadly on a massive scale in which all humanity can be involved overnight in a massive world war.
Yeah, I think that is exactly what's changed. It's just the whole dynamics of the process. It's changed from certain areas of the world being involved to the entire globe being, you know, confronted with war and the possibilities of things happening.
Probably the one most comforting verse that we've covered in today's program is that in Matthew 24, in verse 22, where it says, "Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved." I think that is probably the best concept we can leave with our audience to understand. What do we learn from that?
What we know is that from what Jesus Christ says in the Olivet Prophecy, there is coming a world war. And when exactly that happens, we don't know. But I tell you, what's happening on the world scene right now is setting up the events that could very easily lead to that world war. That world war will be so terrible that humanity will be on the absolute brink of total, complete destruction. And what that verse tells us is our loving, caring Creator God is going to send His Son back and keep that from happening and going to save humanity. And that's the great joy, that's the great good news that's involved in that.
Yeah, there's hope. There's hope for humanity.
That's right.
And I think part of it is the misconception of what Armageddon really is. Armageddon is not the end of the world. I mean, there will be a world conflict. There will be world war. It will be unbelievably devastating. But the fact is, God says the world itself will not end. He's going to step in and stop that process before everything is destroyed. And so the hope then is that it says in that scripture, for the elect's sake. And that passage can mean God's chosen. Because of God's chosen ones, He's going to stop that process. He's not going to let all of mankind to be wiped out. So that leaves us, I think, with a choice. You know,
yes.
Are we God's chosen? God is choosing His people. Are we choosing to follow God? So that's the challenge for each and every one of us, that we have to make a choice ourselves.
Yeah. I think the challenge really is for all of us, and for our audience, to understand that what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24 is not a gloom and doom scenario. He is talking about the essence of the gospel of the kingdom of God as He leads us through the end of human experience and points the way to a time when His kingdom will reign on all the earth and men will then truly at that point begin to beat their swords into plowshares. You can learn that way of life. You need to understand and commit to the gospel at this time. Stay with us. We'll be right back for a final word.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was thousands of years of European history and the coming conflict which will end the power of the United States. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv.
War and conflict will continue to impact our world in the coming years. We are entering a dangerous period that threatens to change the once safe world we have come to know. What can you and I do about this grim picture? Well, we can find God. We can get close to Him before we have to drop into the foxhole. God's protection and His help will be the only hope of mankind surviving. It's time to get a reality check. It's time to look into what God says in the Bible, because that's the only source of our hope. The words of Christ tell us, be not troubled. God's word tells us not only what lies ahead in today's world, but what lies ahead in the world to come. Stay in touch with this program and all the information it has to offer. It can guide you to an understanding that lies beyond today's world. Keep watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.